Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Charles Davis going to join us in just a second, but you know I have to let the songs marinate a little bit. Not necessarily the music we normally bring guests on to. Like when Charles would normally come on, Danny would play like a little bit of like the NFL films. You know, that music. But today's Valentine's Day.
Just if it's 6:30 in the morning, if you're driving and you'd have no idea what today is, guys, yeah. Gentlemen, if you have a woman in your life,
you got a couple hours left.
Yeah, I mean, you could get home. You make sure you have some flowers when you get
something.
Home.
Something. You gotta have something. You can't come home. Come,
can't come home. This is the day you can't be empty-handed.
All right, let's bring on Charles Davis, one of our favorites here on the show. He's an NFL analyst for Fox. He works for NFL Network. He's all over the place, got 10,000 jobs. I think now, most notably, for all the kiddies and teenagers and even 20 and 30-somethings, one of the voices on the Madden video game as well. And I think, you know, Charles.
Are you really on Madden, Charles?
Yes.
Charles Davis.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Are you really on Madden?
Yeah, this is going on year 3.
Wow, it's been that long since I haven't played Madden. Uh-huh. Wow, impressive.
it tells you when you put it aside.
That's it.
The time frame.
Charles, what's the mood, the evening like in the Davis household on Valentine's Day? You big flower candy guy, or is it a present? Like, what's it like for you today?
Yeah, it varies from year to year. This year is going to be flowers. They'll be delivered today.
Smart.
I actually got the order in a month ago. So.
Oh, look at you! I'm getting.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, I've learned. You know, you gotta look ahead because all of a sudden these dates sneak up on you.
That's right.
Then at 6:30 in the morning Eastern time, you look up and go, "Oh, is that today?"
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And no one needs that. Trust me.
Yeah, it's a lot because today, and it's funny because when Joe's normally here, our big thing on Valentine's Day is make sure you see the guy on the highway who's got all the flowers and just check him before you take them in the car because there's going to be a couple dead ones in the middle.
Absolutely.
You got to be careful.
No question
today.
About it.
But those guys are always helpful on days like this. Charles, we do appreciate your time today, especially early in the morning. We'll get into everything with you. Obviously, we'll start off with, what'd you think, we'll end the season. What'd you think of the Super Bowl? What'd you think of how the season ended, the Philly parade, the whole deal, and just the city and Philadelphia in general?
Well, I thought it was in a lot of ways, it didn't, I'm not going to say redeemed the season, because I thought the season overall was pretty good. But because of everything that overarched the season, I thought it was big for the NFL to end with a Super Bowl the way it went. I thought the playoffs as a whole were excellent for the NFL. And the parade for the Eagles was one of those that just fortified everyone. You know, a city that hadn't had it in a long time. You know, Jason Kelce being as real can get. And now, of course, he's like, he has that a little bit of buyer's regret, like, oh, man, I hope Mr. Lurie and Doug and everybody are okay with this. Well, a little late now, you did it. But the bottom line is, I just thought that all those things that came together, playoffs, Super Bowl, the whole deal, helped the NFL immensely. Because there's just so much discussion about the things that had nothing to do with the game itself and what was on the field. It just kept hitting it. Ratings are down. Why? Well, guys are kneeling. Well, that's not all of it. There's so many things that go into counting ratings now. I think that we have an antiquated rating system. And I'm not even just talking about for sports.
Yeah, for everything. Yeah, absolutely.
For everything. And I will tell you, and I'm going to sound like the biggest defender ever, but I will tell you that this same thing I'm about to say would go for the show This Is Us, which is the monster show right now, right?
Yep.
When I finish a game, I do usually 1 o'clock games, right? When I finish a game and beat it for the airport, because that's always the move. You run to the airport, try and catch a plane, get home the same night. When I get to the airport, there is a whole lot of mobile devices, laptops, and when I go by them, there's a whole lot of football on them. those are not being counted. We know that, right?
Yeah.
So if I did this on a Tuesday night and I was running to the airport, you know what I would find on those laptops and mobile devices? This is us. Those aren't being counted. So for all everyone who's out there saying, ah, you sports guys, all you talk about is that you try. No, I'm just saying overall, people aren't watching TV the same way.
They're not.
People just aren't doing it. So the idea that we're counting it the same way, well, that's all we have. So everything's off. Everything's down. Everything's not being counted. It's not just sports. It's everything. But when you put it in context, this was the least watched Super Bowl since, what was it, the Colts and Bears?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
But it's still top 10 all time.
Yeah,
so what does that tell you?
Yeah, people are still watching. Yeah.
People are still watching. That's all I'm saying, and I know it sounds like the biggest apologist. I don't mean for it to. It's just that if we want to continue to be negative about it, that's fine. But you know something? TV ratings aren't going to hit when we used to watch Gunsmoke. Okay? Because you're not going to – the way we're counting them, people aren't doing it the same way. There's nobody I know – there's so few people I know who are in the younger set that are not popping on Netflix at night as opposed to, oh, is it Thursday night? Must-see TV?
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
I'm not sure there is must-see TV anymore.
There is no must-see TV. There's no appointment TV. Everybody says, let the season run. I'll binge watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? So that's how it goes. Anyway, enough of that.
Let me ask you a question about the Eagles. And I watched them because the Dolphins did a joint practice for a week. And I looked at that team. And the fact that I couldn't tell which one was a starting quarterback was indicator number one. The fact that the ball rarely ever touched the floor was indicator number two. And the fact that they got to the quarterback on a relatively consistent basis in practice was indicator number three. I knew they were going to have a special year. Do you think that the Eagles' success changes anything in the NFL in terms of the blueprint that teams use?
I think what it does, Omar, is it emphasizes again what Robert Lurie, Howie Roseman, and obviously Doug Peterson in consultation did, which was, guys, we're going to spend big money on a backup quarterback. Okay, just in case. All right, if we want a home and a backup quarterback who has similar skill sets, similar traits, we're not changing up offenses, we're not doing it to where we have to, change up things and make it different. Because one of my peeves about the league, mm-hmm. and I'm discussing this with coaches more and more, is this. Hey, your backup's going to play, and you're a team that's a contender. You think you're pretty good. But you run your backup out there, and now you play to protect him. And you know what happens? Your offense bogs down. Now your defense has extra pressure on it. Know what else happens? Your season usually goes up in smoke. Philadelphia season didn't go up in smoke. Now let's be real about the whole thing, because you saw this and you said you couldn't tell the quarterbacks. You must have caught Foles
on a good one.
Because he barely practiced.
Yeah.
He had an elbow injury. And I would have loved to have been there with you, because I can tell a big difference myself. Foles himself kicked in and played really well. But if I had asked you this question going into the playoffs, Omar,
mm-hmm.
is Philly going to be a playoff? Are they going to win this thing?
I would have said no.
If you tell me yes now, I want to have a bigger discussion with you. Because they went into the playoffs offensively, you couldn't tell that they could play anymore.
That's true.
That was the thing. And Nick caught fire. But when I say caught fire, I want to make sure I say it the right way, because – your point's well taken. This is a guy who's won games in the NFL. This is a guy who went
He's
to the
been
playoffs
a Pro Bowl.
As a starting quarterback.
Yeah.
He went to the Pro Bowl and was 27-2. So it's not like this is a miracle thing that happened with him. The Eagles played to his strengths.
Absolutely.
I thought that ego-wise, that coaching staff, that's one of the best examples of, we're going to play to what we have and do it right. I'm going to give you this quote and I'll shut up here. Right before the Super Bowl, because I was in Minneapolis, I'm on the field and I talked with John DeFilippo, the new offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. I said, Flip, how did you get Nick comfortable? Because down the stretch, he was not. And he said, yeah, I know. He said, what we did was we said, Nick, give us the 20 top concepts you like in our offense. And then what we will do is hone those 20, dress them up so that every play – we'll have three or four different looks in terms of formation, motion, all those things. But it's still the same play that you like to run. And that's what we saw. And that's what he played to. How about that? Because a lot of what he did, he was successful under Chip Kelly doing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of coaches, as you two know, would say, well, I'm not doing anything Chip Kelly did around here. And Doug Peterson said, will that help us win? Yeah, we're going to do that. I don't care. I'm trying to win games. I don't care how it looks. And that's what I talk about, egoless coaching, because a lot of coaches' egos get involved.
Yep.
And they screw it up. Rather than playing to the strength of the guy, they want to say, no, it's my system. Play it this way. And they mess the whole thing up. So that's another thing that people need to jump on board. If you're drafting a young kid out of college and you're going to play him as a quarterback, you might want to meet him halfway. What did he do well in college? And get him comfortable, and then introduce your NFL concepts to him. Because I think Dallas did it with Dak Prescott. We've seen it with Wentz. You know, they played it with Foles now. I think Alex Smith had his best years when Andy Reid started doing that in Kansas City. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, speaking about these quarterbacks, we're here talking with Charles Davis. There are six that are touted as top prospects in this draft: Sam Darnold, Mason Rudolph, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. If I had to tell you, Charles Davis, I put you in charge of a franchise. I need you to take a quarterback. Who are you pulling the trigger on?
Oh, boy. That's tough for me because I think that Omar, going into the season, these guys were touted so highly. And after the season, I have more question marks about most of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, to me, the best quarterback out of this group coming out is Mayfield. You got to play it a little bit differently. You're not going to be 5-7 steps, step back and throw it. That's more Josh Allen. That's more Rosen. Darnold's more of a cross between Mayfield and those guys. You can do some of those things with him, but you also want to move him and let him flash a little magic. Lamar Jackson is your absolute wild card because you're going to have to really play to what's best for him. But I'm going to tell you something. Everyone remembers his Heisman year. If you pop tape in from Heisman year to this year, he made improvements. Got better as a pocket guy. The footwork got a little bit better. Still able to make those incredible plays, so don't overlook him. But, boy, it sure would have been nice for him to get one more year to continue to get refined. But you know something? I would say that about Darnold.
Yep.
I'd say that about Rosen. I'd say that about almost all of them. And then Mason Rudolph is a guy who operated out of a system where receivers got open a lot in their system. Great kid. Love him. His size and his arm don't match. So if you meet Mason, and he's one of my favorite kids on the planet, his size tells you that he's got a gun, but he doesn't. He's got a good arm, but it's not the gun you think it is. So it's a little bit different with what you're doing with him. If I were a betting man right now, guys, I would say four go in the first round and the other two go in the second.
Hmm.
And I say the other two are going to be Jackson and Mason Rudolph.
That would be my
guess as we stand here now.
Sure.
Before we get to combine, before we do pro days.
Senior Bowl wise, anybody you see just kind of shoot up, you know, a guy that maybe we didn't talk about that doesn't have to be a quarterback, just any position wise that all of a sudden after a couple days of the Senior Bowl, you went, wow, this guy's going to get a lot of attention now.
Well, the offensive guard from UTEP, Will Hernandez, he was on the radar, but after the Senior Bowl, now people are talking about maybe he goes in the first round. Big monstrous guy who you know, remember UTEP was winning, what, 0-12?
Yeah, they're bad.
Talking about them.
The only person that talks about it is my dad. He went to UTEP. That's the only person I've ever heard talk about UTEP. So there you go. Yeah.
Now, when your dad went, were they still Texas Western?
Texas Western. They won. My dad was there in the dorms in 66. Yeah, and when they won the national championship against Kentucky, my dad was in the dorms for that, yeah.
I actually played against UTEP when Andy Reid was an assistant there.
Wow, there it is.
So that tells you how long ago that was. But anyway, Hernandez, and he also benefited from another thing. His college head coach is now the offensive line coach of the Broncos, and he played for the Broncos in the Senior Bowl. So he knew concepts. He knew everything. He was able to pick things up, and then he mauled a few people. I thought that he jumped up in a big way. I think that Isaiah Wynn, the offensive lineman for Georgia, who was already talked about highly, but also there were question marks because he's been a tackle mainly in college. He's going to move to guard. Before he injured his shoulder at the Senior Bowl, he was dominating. I thought he was the best offensive lineman there. So he's another guy that I think that has moved into that, hey, we're going to talk about him in the first round with consideration there. And then there's a receiver that I just fell in love with, DJ Chark. Okay, the Chark attack. I thought that he was a guy that, you know, at LSU, and I've said this many times, politely speaking, over the last 10 years, quarterbacking at LSU has been inconsistent. Okay? LSU receivers have much better stats in the NFL than they do at LSU because of philosophy and style. Under Les Miles, if it was third and five, they ran the sprint draw. You know? And Odell Beckham and guys, they didn't throw it to them. And then they get to the NFL and look at them. I think Chark would be another one of those LSU receivers that has a much better pro career. He flashed big as the week went on, and by game time, he was a monster. So I think that he's going to be another one of those. You go, man, he caught 25 balls his senior year. Yeah, because they couldn't hit him. Even if they threw it to him 100 times, that's why he caught 25. They weren't very consistent. He's a good player. So that's just a few of the guys.
Sure. No, that's good. That's good. Charles Davis, NFL analyst for Fox. He's on NFL Network. He's our draft guy. We talked to him all the time before the draft.
My favorite show is the NFL Path to the Draft, baby.
Of course. I
want you to be
more part
of the show, Charles.
I would love to be a huge part of that thing, but I have a feeling I will be a minute part of the thing, so we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, Charles, we'll be waiting to see you on TV. We love talking to you. We'll bug you again soon. Take a couple days off before we bug you again. Thank you, Charles.
Hey, thanks for the time. It's great chatting with you guys again, okay? Omar?
Yes, sir.
I know you got Joe's seat on lock right now, okay? So tell Joe he better hurry back.
Yeah, out in California for a couple days. Omar's going to sit in with me as much as I can keep him here. I'm going to keep him here. Don't worry about that.
Right now, Joe's in California. He's feeling the disturbance in the force, and he's saying, Wally Pip?
That's it.
All right, you guys tell him hey for me.
You got it. Thank you, Charles, for the time as always. Thanks, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
Charles Davis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.